Praise God. This is TH-103, week number two, class number three. And in our remaining session here tonight, what we're going to be doing is talking about the whole process of purging and mortification. And this can be a real challenge because basically you could sum it up like this. When you're praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is going to be working on the inside of you to help you get rid of everything that does not line up with God and replace it with everything that does line up with God. It doesn't matter what that means. In John chapter 15, if you look over there, John 15, verse 2, Jesus says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit." So in other words, the only way that we're going to be able to truly bear fruit, okay, well, what kind of fruit? Well, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of our calling, the fruit of everything that He desires for our lives. The only way that that's going to happen is if we are continually purged of anything that does not line up with His Word and His will. Purging is absolutely necessary for continued bearing fruit, and purging is a work that is performed by God. In other words, God helps us see what needs to be purged, then He works in us to help us purge it. But He doesn't just purge it all by Himself. He does this purging spiritually, not through sickness or disaster or hard times or whatever. Because a lot of people have said, well, you know, God, He put this disaster in my life, this sickness on my life, this hardship. He caused me to lose my job because He's trying to purge me of some things. No. All of those things are natural. God is focusing on the spiritual. And doing something to you in the natural is not going to purge you of a spiritual thing. Now, it might cause you to start looking on the inside so that God can say, look, you could have come to me before now. You didn't have to wait till this bad thing happened. But while you're here, let's talk about some stuff. But the purging is a spiritual work, and it is a process. And boy, do I want to emphasize this. It is not instantaneous. The Holy Spirit works with us inwardly, and He helps identify what needs to be purged. And I may say this more than once tonight, but too many Christians are waiting for a sovereign move of God to change their life, while God is in heaven waiting for a sovereign move on our part. In other words, He says, look, you can be changed if you want to. This junk that needs to be removed, it can be removed, but I am not going to violate your will. I didn't violate your will and make you get born again. I didn't violate your will and make you get filled with the Holy Ghost. I am not going to violate your will. As soon as you want this thing dealt with, we can deal with it together and I'll help you. Purging will come one way or another. It is going to happen. In this life, if we will submit to the work of the Holy Spirit, He'll help us go through this purging. And this is one of the things that, and I've talked before about how that if you don't pray in tongues, you are not going to ever in your life get the results that praying in tongues can produce. This purging process is one of those, because the whole concept of being purged means everything in you that God says shouldn't be there is going to get removed. But it is a process. If we knew the location of everything in us that God doesn't want there, wouldn't we have already removed it? Wouldn't we have already taken it out? Have you ever wondered why it is that some Christians struggle with the same things year after year after year? It's because they don't know where it is. They don't know how to reach on the inside, so to speak, and pull this thing out. They don't know how to deal with it. And yet the Holy Spirit's saying, I know. I know how to deal with this thing. I know how to help you out. If we don't deal with it now, the day is coming when we will be judged and we will be purged. If you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 11 it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And that and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Okay, remember, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The more we pray in tongues, the more the candle burns. The brighter it burns. The greater the intensity of the flame. In other words, the more we pray in tongues, the more we will experience 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15 now in this world. In other words, the more we pray in tongues, the more that fire is going to be released now to judge in us what is and is not right before God. So therefore, we can go through a judging process right now in this life and have that stuff burned out and have it removed. So that when we stand before God, there's no wood, hay, and stubble. It's just that beautiful, precious stuff. That pure, spotless stuff that God wants on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit works with us in this purging process because we do not know how to do it on our own. First off, there's this wake-up call. He opens our spiritual eyes. He'll cause us to be aware of what disappoints God. His glory illuminates character flaws that conflict with our new nature. You ever heard Christians say things like, well, that's just the way I am. People are just going to have to learn to love me the way I am. People are just going to have to learn to get used to me. Well, you know what? If we're walking in love, we will compensate for your character flaws, but that does not mean you're right. It means you're stubborn, you're bullheaded, and you don't want to become like Jesus. And it's a form of control. It's a variation on the theme of a Jezebel spirit. In that, you will accept me as I am. I will control this relationship. And if I want to be a mean old smart mouth boogerhead, I'll do it. And if I want to speak my mind, bless God, I'll do it. And you'll just have to put up with me. If God wants me to change, He'll change me. God's up in heaven saying, you just wait till you get here. You're going to change. But you pray in tongues, and He starts showing you things other people already know. Plus, He starts showing you things that only God knows. Stuff that's in you that, you know, He's God. And that's what He's going to do. He is expose to you the fullness of the character that you need to develop into and the fullness of the character flaws that need to be purged. If you look over in Mark chapter 4, Jesus is talking about, the Word of God here. And He's gone through this parable of the sower sowing the Word. And in verse 20, He says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And He saith unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Now, when you think about this relative to this purging process, the more you pray in tongues, the more the candle of the Lord, your spirit, begins to burn brighter. And the more it burns brighter, those things that are hidden in your character are going to begin to come to light. Now, we are not talking about some kind of psychoanalysis. You know, blame it on mom. That is not what we're talking about here. He's going to show you how you can't blame it on mom. Here's the thing. There are a lot of Christians that want to blame their problems on their past. You can't do that. Your past can make an impact, but your past can only control you to the extent you allow it. And there are a lot. Listen, you know, we have people in this Bible college, all different kinds of ethnic backgrounds, skin color, so on and so forth. And I've come across people over the years that have felt like because they're black, they can never accomplish anything. Because it's a white person's world. But that's not true. Jesus Christ wasn't white. Can we meditate on that one for a little bit, please? You know, you say, well, what color was he? You want my opinion? Seriously? My opinion is this. He was the perfect blend. Amen. Kind of brownish. Seriously, that's what I believe. But he couldn't have been white because he wasn't born in a white culture. What I'm getting at is nothing about your natural life can control God's will unless you let it. Yeah, you may have kids that act up, and you may have a bad job, and you may not have a whole lot of money, and you may have a lousy husband or lousy wife. And I mean, we can go through this list of lousy, okay? And we're not saying those things don't exist, but what I'm saying is, all things are possible with God. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So you can't keep focusing on what you perceive to be limitations that can hold you back. As you begin praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is going to work with you on the inside to help you see this. And here it talks about, you know, that candle is going to be, it's going to burn brighter and brighter. And if there is something in you that feels like you can't be what God says you can be, or you can't do this or can't do that, that candle is going to burn. And that hidden feeling, that hidden attitude, that hidden belief, it's going to begin to be illuminated on the inside of you. Listen, there are a lot of people today that I've known throughout my entire life would have a very difficult time believing that I could be doing what I'm doing here tonight. Just because of how I was. Listen, there were parents that warned other parents not to let their daughter date me. Keep your girls away from him. I'm not making this up. They say, dear God, Brother Martin, should we even be here tonight? You're safe. I've been purged. Hallelujah. See what I'm saying? Listen, we all have issues from our past. We can, I don't care who you are, we can all come up with a reason why we can't. All right? Feelings, thoughts, insecurities, self-image. I mean, whatever it is. And the more we pray in tongues, the more that becomes illuminated on the inside of us. And the Holy Spirit says, this does not need to be here. Yes, but it's how I... Whoa. You become a new creature. You're only dwelling on a memory of your former shortcomings. Now the life of God is on the inside of you. It has no shortcomings. We need to get rid of this thought, this attitude, this feeling, this belief. We need to get this out of here. Yeah, but I've been divorced. Divorced people can't preach. Nobody let them in. Well, you know what? We'll leave those churches alone, okay? If they don't want to hear the word of God from you, if they want to grab a hold of you and chain you down because of their prejudice over your past, let's let them answer to God for that, okay? You've got to believe me. God knows how to work around every situation. And as the candle burns brighter and illuminates some of these things, He can show you what needs to be dealt with and how to deal with it. I mean, you know what one of the downsides of this course is? It eliminates all excuses. You cannot continue saying, I can't because, or yeah, but. You can't. You say, well, if he says, look, I'm God. I can help you deal with it. It doesn't matter what it is. We're going to, if you keep praying, here, we need to deal with this. After we deal with this, we'll move on to this one over here. And then it's this one over here. He helps cleanse. He helps us see what to do. He helps us go through this purging process. The purging through praying in tongues takes time. Our lives are a result of years of experience and teaching. Just what I was talking about. You know, you've gone through a lot of stuff in your life, and a lot of people have said things to you. And there's a good chance a lot of people have said things to you that have held you back and made you feel certain ways about yourself. And so here we are tonight. We are a byproduct of our environment to a certain degree. But now that we've been translated into the kingdom of God, there is a new environment we can be influenced by. Some things are packed way deep on the inside of us, and each layer of this stuff needs to be removed. And He's not going to start with the hardest thing. It's like an onion, layer by layer. He's going to peel this stuff off and help you deal with it. Praying in tongues is the prayer that will be answered. It's guaranteed to be answered because it's a prayer that originated in heaven and is returned to heaven. It's a complete cycle. You know one of the reasons why praying in tongues is so effective? And I think I talked about this before. It's because, what the Bible talked about. Remember when Jesus said it in Mark chapter 4? Mark 11. Believe what you say and you'll have it. All right? Praying in tongues eliminates the human factor. So what do you mean by that? Okay, I can confess my healing. By His stripes I was healed, by His stripes. But on the inside I'm thinking, I don't know about that. But in the beginning, God said, He spoke it, and it happened. Okay? We pray in tongues. Think of it like this. When you pray in tongues, it's another Genesis. You are speaking what originated in the mind of God. You are delivering His perfect will into the atmosphere of His creation to change you and the circumstances around you to bring about His perfect will. His word will not return void. This is why praying in tongues, even if it's just a whisper, even as long as it's coming out, you are confessing God's word. And because the human factor of mental understanding is removed, there can't be unbelief to hold it back. You see what I'm saying? Because you don't know what you're saying, so you don't know if you believe it or you don't. You're confessing God's word. So every time you pray in tongues, you're speaking forth things that are going to come to pass. But keep in mind, it is a process. Regardless of what it is you're praying, it's a process. As we're praying, we cannot pray amiss when we're praying in tongues. And this prayer, praying in tongues, it will never be a prayer consumed at our own lusts. Meaning, I want a Cadillac, so I'm praying for a Cadillac. You hear me, God? Cadillac, Lincoln, Corvette, Maserati. That's what I confess. I confess. And now I'm going to pray in tongues for my Maserati. And God's in heaven saying, no, what you need to do is confess this lust for fast cars. Now, that's kind of a trite example. I know that, but I think it gets the message across. Praying in tongues releases the Holy Spirit to work in us. We are purged from deception to clearly understand God's word. Okay, think of it like this. You know what a lockout is at a place of business? It's where management locks out the employees and they can't come in and do their job. It's like a reverse strike, okay? When you don't pray in tongues, I mean, especially if you don't believe in it, it's a lockout. Here's the Holy Spirit. You know, He's punched the time card. He comes walking up, got His lunchbox. He's ready to go, man. And He gets to the door. He's like, hey, what's going on? Let me in. And you got Him locked out. He can't do anything. But the moment you start praying in tongues, it's like, man, He goes to work. And I mean, He's putting things in order and assembling the widgets. And I mean, He's doing His job. You see what I'm saying? We're allowing Him to do part of what He's called to do. And, you know, He's called to do so many things in this world, but boy, when we start praying in tongues, it's like on the inside, man, and this house, He goes to work, working on the inside of us to bring about the perfect will of God. We're purged again. We're purged from deception to clearly understand God's word. We're purged from foolish thinking to the wisdom of God. We're purged from doubt to live by faith. It's a process. It's kind of like, you know, if you're digging a hole and the sides of the hole cave in, you got to dig all that dirt back out. Have you ever had a basement that flooded? Oh my goodness. Bad rain, storm sewers back up, water comes up into the basement. What a mess. You have to purge the basement. Purge it from water, wet carpet, wet furniture, wet books, destroyed things. I mean, it's not just one thing that needs to be purged out of that basement. It's whatever's been messed up by the water, okay? Likewise, on the inside, when you pray in tongues, it's not just one thing that needs to be purged. It is everything that doesn't line up with the Word of God. And here's the thing. I could stand here tonight before you and in my mind think I'm doing okay. Thinking, okay, yeah, I'm making some real progress here with God. Hallelujah. Everything's going fine. Up in heaven, God is saying, oy vey, son, you need some real purging. Yeah, you've had a lot of stuff purged, but boy, you need a lot more stuff purged. Don't you dare stop praying in tongues. That's the way it is. And you know what? I praise God for that. Now, can I just give you my opinion? I feel like it's possible. I could pray in tongues nonstop between now and the time the Lord comes back, and there still might be a smidgen or speck or two that needs to be purged. Now, I do believe this, though. I believe it's possible for us. If we hang in with this thing, I do believe it's possible for us to be Christ-like purged. Because Jesus said we could do His works. Now listen, we have to go through a lot of purging to get to that point. The purging process does not mean you'll never feel anger, okay? Remember Jesus, the whip, chasing the money changers out? Okay. Here's another good analogy. You pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit takes a whip and starts chasing all the money changers out of your spirit. Our outward lives, and man, this is a hard one. I don't even know if I'm going to say this. Our outward lives reflect our spiritual maturity. Ugh. Man, that's right between the eyes. I mean, for me, anybody. Because, see, when I look at my outward life, it ain't what it ought to be. I'm not in sin or anything. But what I'm saying is, again, when I pray for people, everybody that went to Jesus for prayer, everyone that went to Him, they got their healing. Everyone that went to Him. Everybody that's come to me, when I've prayed for them, sometimes the healing's manifested right then, sometimes it hasn't. But I know that wasn't the case with Jesus. And if I'm supposed to conform to His image and do His works, that means I have the capacity to get to that place. I ain't there yet. But I'm working in that direction. My outward life is a reflection of my spiritual maturity. Boy, I'm telling you what, there are a lot of Christians, they don't want to believe this. Brother Martin, trust me, I am much more spiritually mature than what I look like, and what I act like, and what I talk like, and what I live like. No, trust me, you're not. We have to ask ourselves, you know, do we trust God or something or someone else? And when the pressure is on, how do we react? I mean, when it hits the fan, what comes out from between your lips? I can remember one time, something happened. I forget exactly what it was. And I made the comment, man, I'm telling you what, a lot of words that have been buried were begging for resurrection. But this is true. I mean, think about it. You know, Jesus is our example. When the pressure's on, how do we react? All permanent change comes from within. Laying your junk on the, remember, lay it on the altar. Laying your junk on the altar is what I call lawnmower purging. We run the lawnmower over the dandelions to beautify our yard, but the next day those pretty yellow flowers have returned. In other words, the roots are still in the ground. We run to the altar out of guilt. You know, get the sin out of your life. Come up here right now and lay it on. And so people run to the altar and they bow down crying their makeup off and all this. And then the women too. And they're up here crying, boo-hoo and all that. You know, oh God, I'm sorry. I'm laying this on the altar. And yeah, it's right to confess it and all of that. But the thing is, it's a lot of guilt and emotions. And that's what we're acting on. The next day, we still feel the struggle. But I laid it on the altar. Why do I still feel this way? Some of you probably know what I'm talking about. We were such a wonderful service, but I still feel this. And then, you know, 4 or 5 days later, something happens and you're doing it again. It's like, well, why am I? I laid it on the altar. Why? That's because all you did was run the lawnmower off the blossom, over the blossom, and cut off what you felt you could see. But you didn't deal with the root. The root of that character flaw is still in there. Lawnmower purging is simply will worship. I'm never going to do it again. You ever said that before? I'm never going to do it again. I'm never going to... I said I'm never going to do it again. And then you do it again. And you feel like a failure. Or like God's failed you. And God says, no, I have not failed you. And you're not a failure. You just have approached this thing from the wrong perspective. You're trying to change it on your own. And you'd have changed it 5 years ago if you'd known how. But you haven't figured out. Can I let you in on a little something here? You know all these self-help groups? These therapy groups? The Christian ones now. And they bring people in, they sit around and talk about their problems and how, well, you know, divorce recovery groups and drug recovery groups and alcohol recovery groups. And some of these people, they go to these groups and it's like their whole life. Why?
Well, I'm still struggling.
I can help you. Take this course because the Holy Spirit, trust me, it's not going to take the Holy Spirit that long to get you to the place to where you realize you don't need that circle of friends to be your support. There's an anointing that can abide within that can be all the support you need. Now, I'm not saying groups like that don't have their place. Please don't understand me. But you know what? Now, think with me here. Those kind of groups, they ought to be teaching people this stuff. They ought to be sitting and teaching Christians, listen, you can rely on the Holy Spirit, but how do I do that? Okay, let's go through Scripture and find out. This is what they ought to be teaching. Because if that flaw, that root is in there, the Holy Spirit knows where it is. And when you pray in tongues, He's going to be able to get in there and help you start digging this thing out. Now listen, sometimes you got a dandelion root, sometimes you got an oak tree root. It's been there for 50 years. And we're talking, you ever, listen, you can cut a tree down, but that's easy. It's getting that root out of the ground is the hard part. And listen, if you've ever cut down a tree, I mean, it might only have been like maybe an 8-foot tree. But when you go to try to dig that root out, it's like, my goodness, where did this come from? And by the time you got that root dug out, you got a hole you could drive a truck through. It's like, how could one root from a little short 8-foot tree be that big of a problem? That's because roots are tough. And roots are designed to supply life to their what is above ground. Okay? Likewise, on the inside of you, the root is not, the problem is not the smoking. The problem is why you smoke. The problem is not the drinking. It's why you drink. The problem is not the pornography. It's why you keep going to it. The problem is not the adultery. It's why you keep going to it. That's why a lot of these self-help groups, it's like chaining a person to a pole. You're never going to do it again, right? I'm never. They're on the inside. The root's still there. Take the chains off. Turn them loose. Let them go out. You know what you're going to do? That you never. People talk about fell off the wagon. With the Holy Ghost, there's no falling off the wagon. Look in Romans 8:26. See, this purging process, to me, well, this whole, everything about praying in tongues is valuable, but this purging process to me is one of the most valuable aspects of praying in tongues. Because what it means is this. It does not matter who you are, what you've done. It doesn't matter what your problems are. It really doesn't matter. I mean, honestly, you can be born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and be the kind of person no one wants to be around. Because you're a jerk. You're mouthy. I mean, people just, they love you, but they just don't like to be with you. You can be a person that you got a sour attitude, you're negative, but if you can just get people to praying in tongues, if you can just get them to accept by faith, this will produce something in my life. If you can just get them to do that, every character issue can be changed. Everything. All of it. It doesn't matter what you struggle with, doesn't matter. It does not matter, you know, the kind of things about you that you don't like, that, you know, God wishes were different. Doesn't matter what it is. You start praying in tongues, that stuff's going to change. Doesn't matter what it is. Listen, you may think it's okay to dress like a slob to go to church. Now, I've seen people like that. Now, don't anybody in here get offended, okay? Please. You start praying in tongues, and if that's an issue in your life, the Holy Spirit's going to start showing you, you need to demonstrate a little bit more respect. You're having an impact on other people in the church. And you need to understand that God isn't expecting you. Your Father's not expecting you to show up in a suit and tie every Sunday. But you need to show a little bit more respect for your Savior. Because remember, you're supposed to be a living, breathing testimony for the one who went to the cross for you. You see what I mean? Even something like that. Whatever it is in your life, the purging process of praying in tongues brings resolution to this. In Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The infirmities, inabilities to produce results because of the limitations imposed on us by the flesh. Rephrased, the limitations imposed on us because of the infirmities, of the roots that are in there that keep producing fruit. We don't want that fruit. Why? I don't understand this. And this kind of stuff's holding you about. These infirmities, yes, they're like roots. If we knew where they were, we'd deal with them, we'd get them out, we'd have dug them out a long time ago, but the Holy Spirit knows exactly where they are, knows how they got planted, and He knows how to empower our new nature so that we uproot these things. Again, it's not going to be just... See, here's the thing. You can pray in tongues, and then what a root gets removed, and you might think, boy, praise God, He finally delivered me from this thing. And God's up in heaven saying, no, what I did was finally show you how to deliver yourself from this thing, how to live according to my life in you. I didn't just decide one day, because, well, okay, let's see here. He's now prayed 37 hours, 46 minutes, and 15, 16, 17, 18 seconds. That's all I needed. Now I'll pull that thing out of him. No, it doesn't work that way. We pray and pray and pray until all of a sudden here we are. We're not doing that anymore. Whatever it would be. Whatever it would be. We're not doing that anymore. There's a change that's taken place. And the Holy Spirit knows where all this is. In John chapter 15, verse 3, if you look back over there, real quickly, Jesus says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The Holy Spirit uses the word as a tool to effect cleansing. If you look back over in Hebrews chapter 4, because this goes right along with it. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, the word of God gets in there and it sees what's going on. You pray in tongues, you're releasing God's word in you. And it's like the Holy Spirit, again, imagery. It's like He comes up to you as you're praying in tongues, and He says, okay, now listen, you're releasing the Word of God into you as you're allowing me to pray through you. Now, I want you to take a look at what you've done. And you look down at your feet, and you see there's this sword. And the Holy Spirit says, you see that sword? You say, yeah, where'd that come from? He says, that's what you created through your praying. And He says, now watch out. This ain't sharp. I mean, you could shave an ant with this. This thing is sharp. Now you pick it up by the handle and you start hacking away at this stuff that's in you that I've been showing you. And so you've released the Word of God in you through praying in tongues. And now the Word of God, it begins to differentiate between what you think and what is truth. And He begins to work in you, God working in you, you working in you, the power of God's Word released through praying in tongues, and this purging begins to take place. The cleansing takes us out of continual defeat. Listen, guys, I'm telling you, you keep praying in tongues, you're going to get to the place of where you're not going to be thinking, I can't do this anymore. I might as well quit. What's the use of trying? I'm never going to accomplish anything. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Remember, the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents, spirit and soul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you'll see this borne out a little bit differently. In verse 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural or man-made, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay, well, what are these strongholds? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Remember the Word of God, two-edged sword, a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of spirit and soul. The strongholds are imaginations. We exalt these imaginations above God's word, accepting them as truth. I can't. I won't. It'll never. And the thing, okay, here's the thing. Religious imaginations are in this category. It's not just the imagination of I can never stop this habit. It's the imagination of I don't believe in divine healing. Or it's the imagination of, boy, if I can just, if I just call in this pledge to the money-a-thon fundraiser for the Christian television program, if I just call in this pledge, they just said that there's an anointing on this the next 30 minutes, bless God. And I gotta get my pledge, you know, and I gotta call in. I wish these people would hang up so I can get my pledge in within the 30 minute time limit so that I can get my healing to manifest. Dear heart, that's an imagination and it didn't come from God. But somebody has trained you to exalt this imagination above the knowledge of God because the knowledge of God says, by my son's stripes you were healed. There is a constant 24-hour a day, 7-day a week anointing that's already available to you. It doesn't have a 30-minute time limit. It's not going to end in 60 minutes when the program goes off the air. It is continual. But see, that kind of an imagination, the religious imaginations, these are the biggest strongholds. It's not simply a matter of this other stuff, although it's all included, bad habits and so on and so forth. We exalt these imaginations above God's word and start accepting them as truth. The Holy Spirit discerns between our thoughts and God's truth. He uses God's truth or God's word to cut away the imaginations to where you stop believing stuff that God doesn't want you to believe. And here's the thing. If you've been raised hearing certain teaching year after year after year, you better believe me that those roots go very, very deeply. Remember what I said earlier? How that if you've never been taught about praying in tongues and it's never been explained to you and you've never done it, that there's probably a lot of stuff in there that shouldn't be in there. That's because the anointing that can abide within has not been released through praying in tongues. Man, you've been open season to any doctrine that would come along, coming from somebody that you feel you can trust. And so you just open up to them to receive it. And you let it pour into you. And God's up in heaven shaking his head saying, oh no, this is not right. And those roots are going to go so deep. And you're going to end up basing your entire life and your entire ministry believing something that I never said. And yet, there we go, every day believing it. And we keep going back to the same source, turning on the station and the radio, the TV, I mean, whatever it is, whatever that source is, we keep going back to it. But he uses God's truth. We start praying in tongues and he uses God's truth to cut those imaginations out. And see, some of the things, we don't even know they're imaginations. We don't even realize this. We think it's all right. Everything lines up with God's word. That's what we think. And he's saying, it's so bad. There's so much fruit being produced by this root. You don't even recognize that it's not right. But if you turn me loose on the inside of you, I'm going to help you to start seeing this. And we're not just going to cut down the fruit. We're going to dig that root out. No matter how deep it is, we'll get this thing out of you. The biggest stronghold is complacency. Complacency exalts self. I don't need this. I don't have to do this. I'm okay the way it is. Okay, maybe I'll pray a couple of minutes here, but I really don't need to pray like this course is implying. Complacency expects someone else to do the work. Waits for a sovereign move of God. In other words, I don't have to put forth the effort. God's going to do it for me. It's a lazy attitude. Complacency seeks comfort. Tell me I'm okay. Tell me I don't need this. Well, I'll go ask my pastor if I need to pray in tongues like this. And the pastor says, no, you don't. Whew. Thank you, pastor. You've relieved me of any responsibility. Oh, no. Uh-uh. You've just exalted an imagination above the truth of God. Complacency doesn't pray in tongues because it doesn't fully believe the value. You must force yourself to pray in tongues to overcome complacency. Kind of like you're chasing your tail almost. But you have to, I mean, you just have to say, look, I'm going to do this. Now, earlier this evening, when I was praying about all of this, and you know, I'm looking ahead at all the stuff I was going to cover tonight, and I'm on this section on purging and the strongholds, the imaginations, and I'm praying in tongues while I'm going through all of this. Boy, the Lord began to speak, and I'm going to share with you what He gave me. One of the biggest strongholds I see in my children concerns their religion and what they believe. For many of them, I have more difficulty getting them to purge themselves of wrong belief than I do getting them to purge bad habits. The reason for this is because the majority of my children think their bad habits are worse than wrong belief. This is why basically none of them are concerned with what they believe, because they are convinced that what they believe is correct. It is harder for me to get my children out of the wrong church and into the right one than it is for me to get them to quit smoking or drinking or some other wrong behavior. The reason is that they can see outwardly the smoking, drinking, and other things, but they cannot see inwardly what the wrong teaching has done to them over the years. But just as bad physical habits can have destructive effects on the physical body, bad doctrine can have destructive effects on the spiritual body. Over the years, they have allowed themselves to be taken captive by the strongholds of the imaginations that they must stay in their present church. They are shackled in chains of wrong thinking concerning why they must stay where they are. Their hearts have become clouded, and they do not discern what I am trying to do in their lives. Too many of them feel a sense of obligation to a church because they are a teacher, a choir member, a staff member, because they have been there for a long time, or because so many of their friends and family attend the church. But why would I put a person in a church and obligate them to serve where I do not want them? They fail to understand that their greatest obligation is to serve me, not a church. Listen closely to my words. I will not put my blessing on anything a pastor says which does not line up with my word. How much longer are you going to kneel to the stronghold instead of kneeling to me? Obey me and do what I say. Let me take you from a place that to you seems right and plant you in the place that is right. Do not worry about how it will look to others. Do not worry about what people will say. Do not worry about what you think will cause strife. Do not worry about how much further you may have to drive. I am God, and I can work all of these things out and provide for your every need. Obey me and leave where I do not want you. Let me purge you of this stronghold. Become the exception in my kingdom, one of the few who places obedience to me in this area to be of more value than feeling comfortable. You are stagnating spiritually in a place which is not feeding you the fullness of truth I desire. Obey me, and I will take you to a spiritual oasis flowing with living water, greater anointing, and truth, a place which is a key in you fulfilling all I have called you to accomplish in this world. Pretty heavy, huh? And, you know, this is the kind of message that needs to go out to the body of Christ. And this really summarizes, like I shared earlier, when I'm teaching and it's like I can see in people's faces that it's just not clicking how they need to be sure it's right, what they're believing and so forth. This pretty well sums it up. And what I would say, you know, to you that are here, to those of you that are listening to this, no matter where you are, you've got to get with God. And if He is moving on you to get out of the church where you're presently attending, follow His direction. Whatever that means to you in your walk with Him, wherever you are, follow His instructions, do what He says. Let Him take you where He wants you, because that is a step in the fulfillment of His perfect will for your life. Praise God. Well, Father, we want to thank You for Your word. Again, we bless You and we honor You. And Father, sometimes Your truth can be very challenging to us. However, help us get past ourselves and see the value in being fully obedient to You. Now, Jesus, as we leave here tonight, we thank You again for being our Savior. And Lord, we just ask You to watch over us and protect us as we go home. We love you and we bless you, Father, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Praise God. We'll see you next week. Hallelujah.